नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 5, text 16.
Srishtyapyayakarim mayam velakulantavegitam mattasya tamavidnyasya kim asatkarma bhirbhavet। सृष्ट्याप्ययकरिं मायां वेलाकुलान्तवेगितां मत्तस्य तामविज्ञस्य किम् असत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्। सृष्ट्याप्ययकरिं मायां वेलाकुलान्तवेगितां मत्तस्य ताम विज्ञस्य किम् असत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्।
Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni had said that there is a river flowing in both directions. The Haryashvas understood the purport of this statement. Material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. Thus the river of material nature flows both ways. A living entity who unknowingly falls in this river is submerged in its waves, and since the current is swifter near the banks of the river, he is unable to get out. What will be the benefit of performing fruitive activities in that river of Maya? Purport. One may be submerged in the waves of the river of Maya, but one may also get free from the waves by coming to the banks of knowledge and austerity. Near these banks, however, the waves are very strong. If one does not understand how he is being tossed by the waves, but simply engages in temporary fruitive activities, what benefit will he derive? In Brahma Samhita, there is a statement, Srishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Reka Chayeva Yasya Bhunani Vivarti Durga. The Maya Shakti Durga is in charge of Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, creation and dissolution, and she acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. When one falls in the river of nescience, he is always tossed here and there by the waves. But the same Maya can also save him when he surrenders to Krishna or becomes Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. A Krishna conscious person takes knowledge from the Vedic literature, and at the same time he must practice austerities. To attain freedom from material life, one must take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if one very busily engages in the so-called advancement of science, what benefit will he derive? If one is carried away by the waves of nature, what is the meaning of being a great scientist or philosopher? Mundane science and philosophy are also material creations. One must understand how Maya works and how one can be released from the tossing waves of the river of nescience. That is one's first duty. So these verses actually glorify the transcendental brilliance of Devarshi Narad as a most wonderful preacher, as also the spiritual intelligence of Haryashvas, the 10,000 sons of Daksha Pradapati, in grasping Narad Muni's cryptic statements and spiritual instructions. Now the background is as follows. The Haryashvas have set out on Daksha Prajapati's order to beget children, for which they are performing austerities. That was the trend. You want to beget children, people perform austerities. And they reside in the spiritual atmosphere of Narayan Saras, And by nature, they are very gentle, very, very obedient. And they indeed want to please their father, Daksha Prajapati. But it so turns out that in the very pristine and pure atmosphere of Narayan Saras, and especially association with the pure-hearted sages there, they become vinirudhata malashayaha. So they become totally free from material desires and impurities. Now, begetting children falls on the material platform, and here they have become vinirudhata malashaya. They become free from material desires, and in fact they become more and more inclined towards activities of paramahamsas. So they are not at all materialistic in their perspectives or in their consciousness. So here is Daksha Prajapati, whose service is to actually populate the earth, and therefore he sent his sons to beget children. And on the other hand, we have Devarshi Narad, whose service is to make people Krishna conscious or God conscious. So totally different perspectives. Now, to Narad Muni, these Haryashvas are like ready-made material for Krishna consciousness. Their hearts are already pure. When we start chanting the holy names of the Lord, one of our goals is that all the anarthas are removed. But here, the Haryashvas are in that very, very exalted position. They are already cleansed of the impurities in their hearts. Originally, they are from a wonderful background, and here, all their impurities also have been cleansed. And therefore, to Narad Muni, they are excellent material for making them Krishna conscious. Like the dry grass which can be ignited. So the flame of Krishna consciousness could easily be ignited in their hearts. That is the perspective of Narad Muni. So, Narad Muni is a preacher par excellence. According to time, place and circumstances, he preaches to people with different intelligence levels and different minds and different consciousness. So there is a Subhashita in Sanskrit, Pinde Pinde Matir Bhinna, Kunde Kunde Navampayaha, Jato Jato Navacharaha, Navavani Mukhe Mukhe, Pinde Pinde Matir Bhinna. No two people have the same mental framework or consciousness. And therefore, every individual needs to be preached to sometimes in a characteristic and unique way. And of course, Devarshi Narad is an expert in this job of preaching. Just if we analyze the way Narad Muni has preached to people, we understand his brilliance. Now, in case of Valya Koli, he was an unlettered person. And in his case, he had performed such sinful activity that it was not possible for him to pronounce even the holy name of Ram. So to him he said, you just start chanting Mara, 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 Mara. So, and then through that process, Narad Muni converted this Valya Koli into the exalted Valmiki Muni, whose Ramayana we cherish and read. So approach is characteristically different for individual, time, place and circumstances. So in case of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva was just a child, 5-year-old boy, who should be actually playing and prancing about. But then he is determined to come to the forest and, you know, please the Lord, so that he gets a kingdom which is greater than even his grandfather. So his perspective, Dhruva's perspective are different. How does Narad Muni preach to him? First of all, he tests his determination. Tests his determination and really wants to make sure that Dhruva indeed wants to make spiritual progress. And after having done that, he teaches him about the process of Ashtanga Yoga, and that way Dhruva Maharaj perfects his life. In case of Prahlad, another unique case, he doesn't directly preach to Prahlad Maharaj. He preaches to his mother Kayadu, and actually he saves her from clutches of demigods who want to kill her actually. But he not only saves her, but he preaches to her. Now that those spiritual instructions are not imbibed by Kayadu, but they are definitely imbibed by Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the womb of his mother. So thus we find that in every case, Narad Muni is uniquely different in his preaching strategy. So, and of course, the writer Vedavyas. In case of Vedavyas, who is already a literary incarnation of the Lord, he just gives a different orientation to him. He says that all that you have done so far is all right, but it is not the best stuff that you could have come out with. Your literary contributions are wonderful, but they are not really the best. He just gives a orientation. He says, now you start glorifying the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Thus, in each and every case, Narad Muni's brilliance literally shines in his preaching activities. Of course, we see the same kind of brilliance in Srila Prabhupada's preaching techniques as well, depending upon the type of people he would preach to him. Once there is an example of a person who was a race car enthusiast, and he came amongst the devotees, and the devotees thought, what can one preach to such a person? He's talking all the time about racing cars. But when he went to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada heard him out totally. He exhausted himself. All that he had to speak about racing cars, he spoke, and then Prabhupada preached to him. So thus, in each case, every case is unique. Prabhupada also was so brilliant in his preaching. So in this Haryashwas, knowing that these Haryashwas are already there, purified, and their intellect is purified, Narad Muni did not directly talk to them about Krishna consciousness, or he did not talk to them about Supreme Personality of Godhead, as perhaps he would do in other cases. He didn't do that at all. So what did he do? He just made some allegorical references, some cryptic comments, some cryptic statements. And he knew that these Haryashwas are brilliant enough to grasp the essence of whatever statements he made, and they would make spiritual progress. So thus, and again, it is to the credit of the Haryashwas that when Narad Muni made these cryptic statements, the Haryashwas did not say, Devarshi Narad, please don't be so very cryptic. Why don't you give us details? They also didn't say that. They used their purified intelligence to grasp the truth. So this is the beauty of these verses, wherein the Haryashwas show their spiritual intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam te yenamam upayanti te. So Lord says that buddhi yoga is there with these Haryashwas, and they are able to grasp the truth. So they deciphered each and every allegorical reference that was made by Narad Muni. There are 10 in all, and some have already been covered, I believe, up to yesterday. So I'll just briefly cover that. So first of all, Narad Muni said that there is a kingdom where only one man can live. The Haryashwas, using their intelligence, immediately understood the purport, and they concluded that this refers only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the Bhoktaram, Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, the supreme enjoyer, and who is unaffected by modes of material nature, who is beyond, is Adokshaja, not affected. Then the second allegorical reference is to Bila, a hole from which, having one entered, one does not return. So the Haryashwas understood that this was a reference to Patala, the hellish planet, where having gone once, nobody comes back. So they use their intelligence in this way. Then the Narad Muni makes a reference to a woman who is a professional prostitute. Now the Haryashwas understood that the identity of the prostitute is actually unsteady intelligence, which is mixed with passion, mode of passion. So when unsteady intelligence is mixed with mode of passion, then what is the result? It is simply sense gratification and fruitive activities, out of which one cannot get out at all. Then the fourth one is that Narad Muni spoke of a person who is the husband of that prostitute. Now Haryashwas, by their intelligence, understood that to mean that Narad Muni is referring to a husband of a prostitute who has no independence whatsoever. The husband of a prostitute is deprived of any independence. He has no independence. And what it means is that Haryashwas understood that this signifies total involvement in material life and getting into the cycle of birth and death again and again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. So that cycle of birth and death. So thus, each and every allegorical reference, the Haryashwas understood by their brilliance, by their intelligence. Now, and Narad Muni really is testing their intelligence, their gray cell matter, and it comes out very wonderfully well. So in the verse which we are presently discussing, so Narad Muni's allegorical reference is to a river which flows in both directions. Now it is mentioned here in the translation that the Haryashvas understood the purport of this statement, that material nature functions in two ways, by creation and dissolution. So creation and dissolution are all the time taking place, and Srila Prabhupada makes a reference to Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chaya Vayasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. So the Maya Shakti of the Supreme Lord is in charge of Srishti Sthiti Pralaya. So this keeps on happening, and this happens under the superintendence of the Lord. Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanina Kaunteya Jagat Viparivartite. So this is happening under the Lord's supervision. So in the Bhagavad Gita also there is that beautiful verse in which he says, Bhuta Gramasa Evayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratri Agami Avasha Partha Prabhavati Agami. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that again and again when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and on the arrival of Brahma's night they are helplessly annihilated. So this keeps happening to living entities who do not have recourse to spiritual knowledge, and they do not have spiritual knowledge, they do not have Krishna consciousness with them, and therefore they unknowingly fall in this river and they are literally submerged. If they try to go near the bank, the currents there, Prabhupada writes, are very, very swift, and it is not very possible to go there. So Krishna consciousness is the only solace. So during the daytime of Brahma, all these living entities, their activities, they begin, they exhibit their activities, they get different bodies, different dresses, and at night, annihilation. So, and after Brahma leaves his body at the age of 100 years, what happens? There is devastation, and the living entities remain unmanifest for millions and millions of years until Brahma again is born. So thus we find the helpless state of a living entity. It just, Prabhupada refers, it's just being tossed about here and there, just like a shuttlecock from one court to the other court. They're being tossed, caught up in this material, you know, the effect of Maya, Maya Shakti. Lord's Maya Shakti prevails, and Maya is of course composed of three modes of material nature, and therefore every living entity is helplessly caught. It's a struggle to get out. It's a struggle to get out of the swift currents of Maya. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daiviyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratkaya. Mamevaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. So Maya is very, very difficult to overcome. So Prabhupada makes a reference to living entities being tossed here and there. So how duratya, how difficult is Maya? That one can evaluate by a very beautiful story that pertains to Markandeya Rishi. Now this Markandeya Rishi is actually a Mahatma who is also referred to as Kala Jayi. He had conquered time. So he was not prone to death, Ichiranjivi, not prone to death. And thus, also he is a great devotee of the Lord, and he is a person who is a witness to the annihilation processes that take place at the end of the yuga. So when there is water, water, water everywhere, and there is darkness everywhere, Markandeya Rishi is very much there, and he is involved and he is submerged in his devotional practices. So that's the caliber of Markandeya Rishi. But even this Markandeya Rishi was very curious to find out how the Lord's Maya Shakti works. He's very, very curious. And he therefore once expressed his desire. He had access to the Supreme Lord. He expressed a desire to the Supreme Lord. He said that I just want to experience your Maya Shakti. Just once I want to experience it. The Lord gave a beautiful smile, said Tathastu, and he disappeared from his vision. After that, this Markandeya Rishi, he sat on the near his ashram. It was very, very tranquil place, very beautiful atmosphere, very conducive for spiritual practices. He sat there in deep meditation, And as he sat there in his deep meditation, suddenly, all of a sudden, he found himself transported. He found himself in the swirling waves of an ocean, very, very turbulent ocean. And he started experiencing this tossing process which is being talked about. He was tossed from one place to other place, just tossed by the waves here and there. And there was total, complete darkness everywhere. Complete darkness. And he was frightened. He was frightened. He was in distress actually. And he just didn't know what was happening to him. So it seemed that wherever he saw there was water, wherever he saw there was darkness, and practically he became totally nervous in the process. So at that time, when he was in that state, he remembered the Supreme Lord. So remembrance of the Supreme Lord is actually bringing Krishna into the focus. So he remembered the Supreme Lord Krishna. And as he remembered Krishna, he happened to see an effulgent glow coming from a distance. It was coming from a banyan tree on which there was a big leaf, on which there was a beautiful child actually sleeping, resting. And the effulgence was emanating from that child. Of course, it was the Supreme Lord Krishna. So from him, the effulgence was coming. And this child was very sweetly sucking the toe of his right leg. Sucking the toe of his right leg. So, naturally, Markandeya Muni was drawn towards that child. He went there and he saw the child, all his fear, all his, you know, distress totally disappeared. So, as it is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, the process of Krishna consciousness brings in auspiciousness. So he was free from everything. He was free from all fears. He was free from all distress. And then he felt so much attraction. He felt great, great attraction for the child. So he had a desire to go and, you know, hold the child in his arms. So he went near, tried to go nearer and nearer and nearer. And as he went near, what happened was, he didn't know, all of a sudden, he was sucked into the transcendental body of the Lord himself. He was in the transcendental stomach of the Lord. And in the stomach of the Supreme Lord, child, baby actually, what did he see? He saw all Brahmandas, he saw all the universes, he saw the cosmic manifestation. He saw himself, he saw the Supreme Lord, he saw his ashram, he saw the pralaya which he had experienced, saw everything. And once again, he was in a tranquil mood when he had the darshan of the Lord. Once again, he became very fearful. He became frightened. And then all of a sudden, he was back to his ashram. So the Lord had withdrawn his Maya Shakti. He no longer was, that illusory energy of the Supreme Lord was withdrawn by Krishna. So thus, Markandeya Muni got a jhalak, a glimpse of how the Lord's Maya works. It is indeed very, very difficult to understand how the Lord's Maya works in various situations. Almost all living entities get bewildered. They are tossed from here to there. And only solace is that we have to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So in his purport to that verse, Daivi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Durataya Mam Eva Ye Prapadyante. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that, says that the word Mam Eva Prapadyante is very, very significant. Because he says that even if the Lord Brahma, he is in charge of Rajoguna, and Shiva is in charge of Tamoguna. He says that neither of these can actually save you from clutches of Maya. They cannot save you from cycle of birth and death. Only the Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu can save you from clutches of Maya. Which in other words means that they also are under the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. So what to speak of living entities like us? So in this process, there is no other way of, you know, getting solace save and accept to take the shelter of the Supreme Lord. Maam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. So, to cross this difficult ocean of nescience, the only way is Krishna consciousness, about which Srila Prabhupada emphasizes here. He says a very beautiful statement. He says that Krishna consciousness is knowledge and austerity. Both are there in that. It's not that you have to separately, you know, practice austerity or make a separate endeavor to acquire knowledge. They are inherent, they are part and parcel. When we become Krishna conscious, they are there. So thus, it's so very difficult to be in this material world and not be influenced by Maya unless we take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I remember an example which His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gave in one of his lectures. He said that if there is a very strong current in a river, he said that even big, big elephants are swept away by the current. But then he said that a small fish, it jumps with the current against the current. Very, very small fish. How does he do that? Maharaj said that this is the small fish is able to do because the fish has taken shelter of the river. So taking shelter of the river, so taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord, which has been mercifully given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, that holy name, chanting out the holy name, taking shelter of it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So just taking shelter of this holy name, which is our connection to Krishna. We may not be fortunate to see the beautiful form of Krishna on a banyan leaf or in any other form. We may not be able to see that. But most certainly, all of us have access to Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is non-different from the Lord Himself. And by taking shelter of the holy name, we can free ourselves from clutches of Maya. So we are indeed very, very fortunate that we are in this ISKCON moment where we have this gift of Krishna consciousness given to us. Everything is ready-made. All that we have to do is to have a desire. I remember the statement of His Grace Shruta Kirti Prabhu, who just left some time back. So once, while he was going from, I think, San Francisco or some such place, he was trying to go in his car, and one of the devotees of the Prabhupada, he came running. He came running to the car, and he just, you know, looking at very expectantly at Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada said, "What do you want?" He said, "Srila Prabhupada, how to become Krishna conscious? I want to become Krishna conscious." And then Shruta Kirti Prabhu asked the audience, "What do you think was Prabhupada's reply?" And audience, many of you may have been there, replied differently. Somebody said that we have to have, you know, humility. Somebody said, you know, we must perform, you know, devotional service, so on and so forth. And then Shruta Kirti revealed what Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said that to become Krishna conscious, all that we want to have is desire. Said desire. We have to have desire to be Krishna conscious. So similarly, to become Krishna conscious, all that we require is a desire. Everything else is given unto us, is ready-made. Everything is ready-made. Just as these sons of Daksha Prajapati were all, they were ready-made material for Narad Muni. Similarly, for us living entities, the facilities for becoming Krishna conscious have been given in a ready-made form. Whether we accept it or not, that choice is entirely ours. So we have to make the right choice at any time, and by making the right choice, we can safely cross the current of Maya. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.